My topic for this morning in our series was going to be on Jesus and the law. And, you know, that just didn't seem appropriate yesterday morning, did it? It's just like, you know, coming to talk, and I thought I'd come in yesterday and just kind of sit down and think about, what am I going to say? I'm not going to talk about Jesus and the law. I mean, seriously? But I couldn't help but not think of really stupid and inappropriate platitudes. I know what it was like living through the earthquakes. I know what people so nicely and with all good heart used to say. And here I am now saying kind of the same things. And I really struggled with it. And I struggled all day yesterday thinking about it. And I was interrupted by, you know, having to go online and check the news lines because I couldn't get off it. And, of course, Facebook just completely distracts you. And next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock. And you're thinking, okay, what am I going to talk about? And the ladies were having a movie night last night. And there was a problem with the sound. And so, hey, Rob, can you come up and do it? Yep, sure, coming up, and I'm fixing it up. And I made a funny comment as I walked in. I said, oh, okay, the stand-up comedian's here now. And I just noticed and thought, I'm trying to be someone I'm not. And I've just got to be who I am. I was worried about what it meant to preach a sermon on a Sunday like today. I was worried about maybe I need to give a message of hope. Maybe I need to... But God just spoke to me in that moment and said, Rob, you just need to be yourself. And you know what? Maybe Jesus and the law is a good sermon to talk about this morning. So I race back downstairs and I open up my Bible to the verse that I was supposed to be talking about this morning. It's Matthew 5:17, going all the way through to verse 48. It says, just in these few verses, it says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I asked the Lord, what am I supposed to do with that? And it was really interesting because the word I got back from the Lord was this. I've called you to be holy. I've called you to be holy. And you know, as we as Christians, we love this whole holiness thing. We love it so much that we want to see others around us be equally holy. And we judge them accordingly to that holiness. If someone swears in church, we don't approve of it. If we see a gang member walking down the streets, fear and trepidation as we step away from the unholiness. Someone who believes in a faith that we don't believe in, that we know is heresy, we step away from it. It's unholy. We love holiness. We love the idea of holiness. And Jesus here just tells us, hey, you know what? You need to be so holy that you need to be better than those teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Oh my goodness. He's right. And then he backs it up. He backs it up by using, he pulls out of the 613 laws, he pulls out six of them. Murder. He says, hey, you know what? It says don't murder, but I tell you, even if you think about it, you are committing a sin. You're breaking the law. Even if you just think about it, you know what, adultery? It's going on from verses 17 onwards. He's just backing it up. Adultery? You even think waywardly. Don't even think about committing it. Just even think waywardly. You're breaking the law. You are unholy. He goes on, divorce, he goes on, oaths, he goes on with revenge, an eye for an eye. You can't turn the other cheek. And I've heard so many holy ministers pray some weird things about turning the other cheek, not literally. And love your enemies, he ends on that one. It's easy to love one another. It's easy to love the people you like. But how about loving your enemies? We are called to be a holy people. And for a lot of us in our Christian walk, we strive for it. What Jesus is saying, though, which is really interesting, that in these examples that he uses, these comments, they're deeply personal. He's not talking about Christians. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about not what how we're acting. He's talking about what's actually inside of us. He's not talking about our actions of adultery. He's talking about what we're thinking, what we're feeling. He's not talking about the actions of murder. He's talking about what's really in your heart. Sure, you've never killed someone, but how many times have you wanted to? It's deeply personal. It's a strange thing because if you just read these verses and you look at them and you think, it's all about holiness. It's all about being righteous. It's all about right and wrong. Because that's just black and white for us and we need that. But then Jesus, as always, throws us curveballs, not just in these verses, in other verses. Verses like Mark 2:27, where he says, the Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. The law wasn't made so that we serve the law. The law serves us. It was made for you and me, not us for the law. Just think about that for a moment. Or later on in Matthew chapter 12, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, Will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. But you're telling me you want me to be holy, but Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here. You tell me you want me to be holy, I've got to follow these laws, but then you kind of tell us that the law is not something we serve, the law serves us. And I'm not understanding here. You tell us not to work on the Sabbath. I mean, the law says this, but if someone is hurt or injured or needs a hand, we should break the law to help them. I'm not getting you here, Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. About 9 o'clock last night, I'm sitting there going, okay, now I've really preached myself into a corner. How am I going to get out of this, Lord? Sorry, the S has gone off, but S's always do that, don't they? Anyway. Sometimes this is what we exactly look like. Holiness is all important, and then love is this little thing that is just like an attachment. You know? It's kind of something that hangs to the side, because we are called to be holy. But you know, the interesting thing about these verses, and the thing that just ties in with everything that's happened in the last 48 hours, is that we're called to be holy internally. But we're called to give love outwardly. As big as we're called to be holy, we are called to be loving. As much as you feel we need to be holy, let me tell you, multiply that by 2, 3, 100, and that's how much we need to be showing love. A friend of mine from Australia messaged me after reading my newsletter, and he said, look, Rob, I get it. But, you know, you're either for God or against God. Isn't that the case? And my hands were shaking to respond. My hands were shaking to respond. I said, mate, yes, you are called to be holy. We define ourselves by holiness, but we are called to define others by love. Not by holiness, by love. So I don't care what you believe. I don't care how much you swear or what gang you're affiliated with. I don't care what you look like, where you come from. Those are not the things I define you by. I define you by love. And if my Muslim brother gets gunned down when all he's trying to do is be observant and faithful, wherever that is, misguided or not, I don't care. I love. For God so loved the world, in the verse that is the most commonest verse in our modern times, we forget the love. I don't care where you come from. And I don't care what language you speak. You are defined by love. For we have a God that loves. And there are too many of us in the Christian world that are defined by judgment, that are defined by condemnation, defining other people by holiness when they themselves don't even know the word holiness. If we had the discipline to go pray 5 times a day, that would be amazing, wouldn't it, huh? We had the discipline to stop in the middle of our days to go honor God. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? We must define others by love. Doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter what they do. They could be swearing their hearts out. We still love them. They may not believe anything we believe in. We still love them. We define ourselves by holiness. And that's our challenge. But we define others by love. As we gather here this morning, it's a bit more somber. It's a bit more, well, somber. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Because the greatest weapon we have is prayer. We want to pray for those who are hurting. We want to be praying for those that are struggling. We want to pray for a city and a country that has lost its innocence. And we do that because we love. Amen. I'm going to ask Kerry and Andrew up front. And they're going to lead us in prayer. For God so loved the world. For he loved it so much that Christ himself experienced the burdens of all sin so that we might have hope. And here we are as Christ's disciples, ready to share that love. Amen.